Blog Talk Radio.
What up, what up, what up? It's Pete Richardson, the owner and sole creator of Saving Athletes Respectfully, coming to you live on the Blog Talk Network on the Pete Richardson Morning Show. Today I am continuing the contribute of Mr. Stuart Scott, because he was such a great, tremendous, beneficial person to our community, such a great influence to the Black American community, and told us, do not change who you are just because you got a platform to portray a message, to just continue to keep being positive out there. So right after this clip, we're going to get straight into the Pete Richardson Morning Show.
Good evening and welcome to the end of our careers. A three-hour tour. That's Mitch Albom. This is Susie Culver, my new tag team partner. I'm Keith Culverman, and this is the first edition of Sports Night. Listen, apart from all these wonderful hijinks that we do at the desk and all this fun sports information news stuff that we're doing over there, over here, all the news that's fit in your cable.
All of it.
All of it. We call it Sports Smash. Just wait. Okay. We call it Sports Smash. 25 and 55 past the hour. We will bring you everything you could ever want to know. We take highlight scores and fashion risks.
You like this
from
guy.
Our team of news hounds, and knocking off the first Sports Smash with the big NBA trade that we mentioned before. Stuart Scott.
Keith. Please, I'm having fun. I like the shirt and the jacket together. That's it. That's ESPN, too.
Thank you. Here's the $5. Okay.
Thanks.
Right there, sir. That's your camera.
Right.
Okay.
Detroit's baddest bad boy is now a Spur. The Pistons, trying for a year now to dump Dennis Rodman and his personality, have done it. Rodman's been traded to the Spurs in exchange for all-star Sean Elliott. Rodman's been the league's leading rebounder the last 2 years, but his on- and off-court antics have kept Piston officials wondering about his desire as well as his mental stability. But no question, he can play. So can Sean Elliott. Elliott was an All-American at Arizona, but he has just begun to realize his NBA potential, a scorer, a passer. This guy is all of that. Here's how the deal works up. Rodman and Isaiah Morris to San Antonio for Elliott and David Wood. More details throughout Sports Night. Would you like a spot of English boxing tonight? All right, I'll chuck the accent, but I will tell you, heavyweight champ Lennox Lewis, sorry, Riddick, WBC heavyweight champ Lennox Lewis puts his belt up tonight against fellow Brit Frank Bruno. They're fighting outdoors at Wales under a canopy, supposed to rain, but the fighters are in the ring. First punch about 5 minutes away. 159 games into the big league baseball season, and absolutely nothing is settled in the NL West. The Braves and Giants are tied. San Fran can send the Astros a big thank you for that one. Houston's Ron Gant having conniptions last night because of the Astros. Ronnie took it out on the Braves dugout. Meanwhile, John Smoltz was hammered, and when he wasn't hammered, he did the damage himself. Wild pitch. Watch it. Houston smacked Atlanta 10-8. Smoltz says it was a bad night.
I haven't felt this good in a long time, and my main goal, I was caught in between pitching and hitting my location, and I just was a little too, I felt too good. I had no, I got no excuses other than I just didn't do a very good job tonight. The offense was tremendous and gave me every opportunity to win.
Braves trying to get the job done tonight against Colorado. The Braves are 10-0 against the Rockies this year. For everyone who wrote the Giants off after they lost 8 in a row and tumbled 4.5 back of the Braves, take your foot out of your throat. San Fran has climbed back into a tie again, and they did it swiftly last night. Bill Swift on the hill. Check out the defense. Matt Williams guns down Jose Offerman. Bill Swift in command, treating Piazza like a dog. Stay sit. The fabulous Beggar Boys back in first. They take it 3-1. Tonight's the Giants send John Burkett to the hill, going for his 22nd win, 10:35 start. Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Dale Carter has had another run-in with 5-0, his third brush with the law this year. Carter and two friends were arrested Thursday. They'd been riding in Carter's pickup truck when one of them exchanged gunfire with a suspect in another car. Police think the gunman in the other car started the shooting. They're still looking for those suspects. Carter was released, and no charges are expected to be filed against him. L.A. Raider quarterback Vince Evans hasn't started a game since a replacement game in 1987. That streak will end Sunday. Evans gets the nod over injured Jeff Hostetler. Somewhere Todd Marinovich is saying, rats, gosh darn. And a racing legend is hanging up his steering wheel. Mario Andretti says he will race only one more Indy season for the Newman Haas racing team. And then say, I'm out of here. Andretti, the 1978 Formula One champ, the four-time Indy 500 champ, and one-time Daytona 500 champ, is 53 years old. All right, baseball, Toronto Blue Jays and Baltimore Orioles. Right now, tonight, Baltimore leading the Jays 1-0. Elsewhere, Detroit leading the Yankees from Toronto, Baltimore score. Seattle, Minnesota get started tonight. Kansas City, Texas also on tap for tonight. Seattle, Minnesota, California, and Oakland in the National League. The Mets lead the Marlins 3-0. Houston, Cincinnati tied at goose eggs in the first inning. One more score. Pittsburgh, Montreal also knotted at goose eggs. Philadelphia and St. Louis with an 8:05 start. Chicago, San Diego, that starts later tonight on the coast. To the links we go, and Pine Mountain, Georgia for second round play in the Buick Southern Open. Right now, Tom Lehman has a 3-shot lead over Billy Andrade. Andrade's tied with Peter Parsons for second place on the senior tour. Tom Shaw, here's the senior tour. Lee Trevino is tied with Jim Dent with a 2-shot lead in the Vantage Championship in Clemens, North Carolina. Now introducing a rookie for the Swedish hockey team Roma, Igor Bashinov, number 100.2. What kind of number is that? Well, it's Igor's number because a Swedish radio station has paid $1,200 to put their frequency on Bashinov's jersey. It's actually against Swedish hockey rules to have four digits, but they asked for and got a special exemption. 100.2. Don't even try and figure it out, but it's true. That's all the smash for now, but never fear. Jeff Kaufman will be here in 25 minutes telling you why some Brits are all up in a tizzy because of the All-American game. Peace! I'm out of here. Keith, kicking it back to you.
Stewart, thank you. You know, they tried that once with Andy Messersmith in Atlanta. They tried to have number 17, his uniform, and Ted Turner wanted to put channel above it. Didn't quite work. Stu's first full ESPN sportscast on this network, ESPN2, the day we started it, October 1, 1993. When I went back to SportsCenter as planned the following spring, Susie Culver's co-anchor on Sports Night became Stuart Scott. And the rest is history. Would that the history had lasted so much longer.
What up, what up, what up? Steve Richardson, the owner of Soul Creative, saving our peace respectfully, coming to you live on the Blog Talk Network on the Pete Richardson Morning Show. And what you guys just heard right there was the Stuart Scott's first ESPN appearance right there coming on ESPN2. I wanted to play that because, you know, majority of times when people pass away, when great influences pass away, people only talk about it for one day. And then after that one day, they're going about their lives but let them tell it that person was so great, he was so good, he's so influential. But then soon as they talk about it for one day, then boop, he's gone. Let's get the new one in there. Which only thing constant in this world is change. So I do understand that. But that guy just so influential, regardless of what type of person that he was, off the camera or what it is. But when you listen to him do his work, you can see it. You can feel his passion in it, and you can see that he stayed true to himself. And then when you hear about his daughters talking about him and things and whatnot, you can really see that he actually really was a good guy. And for somebody to beat cancer 2 times, and then on the third one to kind of take him over, it's such a tragedy. And you know, actually, my mother-in-law actually just beat breast cancer here pretty shortly. So you know, cancer is something that, you know, me and my fiance, actually we've kind of been battling within ourselves, but my fiance was so strong and just handled it the way that she handled it. So you know, I want to give a shout out to Miss Meeks, my mother-in-law, who just beat breast cancer. To all the cancer victims out there. And this is something that my mother-in-law just told me 2 days ago. She said, "You can't worry about tomorrow. You can't worry about tomorrow. You got to worry about right now. Love your loved ones right now, as if today will be the last day where you will love them, because you never guarantee. You're not guaranteed tomorrow." I know. Majority of times we take things for granted. We want to be selfish and not selfless. We want to always think about ourselves, or what can you do for me? And like, that's just, you know, that's just human nature. That's why none of us is perfect. None of us would never be perfect. There was only one perfect person who ever walked the face of this earth, and he still got baptized because he knew that he was not perfect. But even he was perfect to us, you know, and everybody know who that person was, and that was Jesus Christ. If he can get baptized after living in this world and then going off and doing his journey, then we can get baptized. And that brings me to this. It doesn't matter what religious preference that some people is, because I'm not going to judge someone just because of what they believe in. If they don't believe in something as me, if they don't believe in something the same as me, but they're believing in something and they're contributing to society, making other people better and not out here blowing everybody up and sacrificing lives and stuff like that, so who am I to say that what they believe in is wrong? You see what I'm saying? So I know I just wanted to start you guys off with that, because that's something that's really close to my heart. In today's segment on Saving Athletes Respectfully, we're talking about snakes. We're talking about snakes, man. And coming into 2015, you got to keep your grass cut. You never know who you can trust. Sometimes it could be your best friend, or sometimes it could be your cousin. It could be your mama. It could be your father. It doesn't matter who it is. Some people might have a good intention, but come about it the wrong kind of way. And when they come about it the wrong kind of way, I really feel like that's the true color speaking. So you got to really pay attention to the signs. And how you pay attention to the signs is whenever you tell somebody your goals, or you tell somebody that what you didn't accomplish, and they want to, give you that little side smile, like, huh. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But it's something that you're really passionate about, and you're really happy that you met that milestone. But when you tell somebody and they ain't really got that same enthusiasm as you, or is it just like, oh, okay, good job? That's when you know you need to start weaving people like that out. But I can go on about that right now. But right now I got my fiance, Miss Sabrina, you lit, about to bring you guys with the weather.
Good morning. We do have a high of 28 degrees in Lubbock, Texas, and a low of 21 degrees. So we are below freezing today. And what makes it even worse is we have winds of 24 miles per hour, and that is making it even colder out there. So if you don't have to get out, I recommend that you don't. If you do, layer it up.
Lay it up. You heard it right there. Great job. Man, I want to give her a high five right there, too, because if you guys been listening to the show, been paying attention to us, you guys know that we've been in the hospital for a whole week. Last night was our first night back home. Sleeping in a regular bed, not her in the hospital bed, not me in a little chair that's right next, and she had it so cold, like so cold in there. I was just like, come on in. We all know black people, we tropical people. You know what I mean? So we like a little heat, especially at this time of the year. And if you're anything like me, and you grew up living with your grandma, and everybody knows when you live with your grandma, if she got a gas stove, and then if you had that furnace too, they used to have it burning up. I used to be like, Granny, do we have to have the heater and the stove on? Like, come on, Bertha May, are you serious? And she'd be like, Peter, go to your room. I'm like, it is too cold in there, Granny. I guess I'm going to go outside and play tackle the man with the football. And she'd say, well, if you get out, stay out. I used to be like, Granny, why you gotta be so mean? But it's okay. That right there made me the man that I am today. Thank you, Granny, for keeping it hot in the house, because sometimes Sabrina nowadays, she comes out here like, do you have the heater on 80? And I just look at her like I'm crazy. Yeah. Oh, but man, that's actually pretty cool. So thank you, Granny, for always keeping the house warm, because I love being in the house warm, but I'm just glad that we're not in the hospital right now. And right now, I do got on the line Mr. Youth Minister straight up out of Arkansas. His name is Stephen Ivey. How you doing, brother?
Man, all is well. How you doing?
All is well over here. It's all in the clear. Hey, man, well, Stephen, I was going to bless the show with his quick little segment, and you got the floor, my man.
Cool. Hey, I got a quick question for everybody, just rhetorical, think about this. What do you do with your fear? What do you do with your fear? And it'll make sense in a few minutes. For me, I've always, for a few years now, I've always compared fear to faith. And as a Christian, as a believer, you know, faith is basically expecting what we don't see, what we don't have, and even sometimes what we don't understand. It's believing it, and then we believe it until the point that it becomes true. And the greatest example of that is our faith in Jesus Christ. I've never seen Jesus Christ. I've never seen God. I've never seen him, you know. But my faith lets me know he's real. And it's almost like the air that we breathe. I've never seen air. I don't see air, but I do feel it. I do know its effects on my life, because if I wasn't breathing air, I wouldn't be alive. And it's the same way with faith, you know, that I don't see God, but I can feel him and know that if it wasn't for him in my life, man, my life would be different. But I compare faith or fear, I compare fear to faith. And with that analogy of what faith is, I believe that all fear is a negative faith. And I'll tell you how. Because all of us as kids, or most of us as kids, maybe not all of us, but most of us as kids, believed in the boogie monster. Now, who told us about the boogie monster? That's another question. Maybe we saw a scary movie. Maybe an older sibling or older cousin told us about the boogie monster. But most of us at some point were scared of the dark. And as for me, I thought when the lights went out and I was in my room by myself, either something was in my closet or something was underneath my bed. And if anybody's like me, when the lights went off, you wouldn't let your feet hang on the side of the bed for fear that whatever was underneath there was going to grab you and pull you underneath this world that's underneath your bed. And being 27 years old now, I know that the boogie monster is just, that's just foolishness. But my fear as a kid made that a reality in my life, to where when the light went off, you know, some of us had night lights. I tried to be hard, you know, because I didn't want my people to know I was scared of the dark. So, you know, I might turn on the closet light from time to time, or you know, I just close my eyes all night and hurry up and go to sleep so I wouldn't have to be scared and all of that. But that's what fear does. Fear is a negative faith, and it makes negativity come alive in our lives. And I'm saying all of this to say, your dreams ought to make you scared. Dreams are scary. And I would personally say that if your dreams aren't scary, or if you're not fearful, then maybe you're not dreaming enough. Or maybe your dreams aren't a dream. Maybe your dream is just I don't even know the word for it. But dreams are scary. You know, we have this idea, you know, because when we go to sleep, you have dreams. And dreams are the nice, pretty things, the stuff that you've always wanted to happen. But in reality, dreams are scary. Because when you're looking at trying to do something or start something, and you don't have money, you don't know where money is going to come from, it's scary. I'll tell you this, and I'll end with this, Pete, and I'm sorry if I'm taking too much time.
Oh, no, man, you're good. You're good.
When I graduated high school, by the time I got to my junior year of school, the second part of my junior year, when I was 16, I think that was my junior year, I accepted my call to preach, knew that the Lord, might even been in 10th grade, knew that the Lord had called me to preach. By 17, I preached my first sermon. This year in June will be my 10th year anniversary being as a preacher. And 17 started preaching. And so, you know, real early on in my life, I knew I stopped taking sports seriously. I stopped taking everything else seriously because I knew there were going to be two things primarily in my life that I did. It was going to be music and it was going to be preaching the word. And both of those, you really don't need a degree for. It helps if you have a degree, but if you don't have a degree, you can be as equally successful in that field, in both of those fields. And needless to say, when I became a senior, college wasn't the first thing on my mind, because for me, I didn't need to go to college. I didn't need to go to get a degree. I had been to school for 12 years, so, man, whatever. Well, my senior year, I had a friend, I had a brother who started telling me about how I needed to be in college. And, you know, me, I hadn't really had too many talks about college, so I was like, I don't have money to go to college. I don't have a scholarship. That's how I thought people paid for college at that time, with scholarships and if they had money. And then he told me about this wonderful thing called financial aid. And lo and behold, to my surprise, because my parents didn't make a lot of money, I qualified for financial aid, and I qualified for grant. And what they didn't tell me is you can get a grant and you can get loans. and people try to tell me, Pete, not to get loans. Well, when I found out that I could come up with you know, because my grant would take care of all my money. I was at a community college, so my grant would easily take care of my expenses. So there was still another $2,000 or $3,000 in loans that I could get. And a come up like that, for me, when you're trying to get music and equipment, or when you're just trying to have some money in your pocket, like, I was like, bet. So I started going to school for the loan check. I ain't gonna even lie. I went to school for financial aid and what I could get out that loan check. Long story short, almost 10 years later, my loans went into default. I tried to get back, and I was going to school. Still hadn't gotten a degree, and my loans ended up going into default because I wasn't paying on them. Bad deal. If you have loans, pay your loans. So I've been in this repayment program. Long story short, and I'll give you the real condensed version. I was trying to get back to school in August. Found this college that would accept me, that would help me out, and tried to get in school in August and couldn't do it because financial aid and my student loans were off and still needed to get out of default. Well, yesterday, 2 days ago, Monday and Tuesday, I had been really talking to the guy, kind of like the advisor that was kind of helping me out, and by Monday evening, there was what looked like no hope for me to go to school. Finances just weren't lining up and things weren't going right. And so at that time, I just got, like, completely sad. Like, man, I'm never going to go to school. I'm never going to get my degree, and I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, I owe this money, blah, 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 blah. And guy called me Tuesday morning, and I was telling him, like, man, you know, this is what's going on. I don't think I'm going to be able to go to school. And a long story short, this dude was able to work some things out where I'm now taking classes. And I'm
Wow.
And I'm saying all that to say my dream has been to go back to school to get my degree, further my education, and all of that. And dreams are scary because sometimes what it takes to complete your dream, you don't have the resources. But don't let that stop you from still trying to pursue your dreams. Because lo and behold, my pastor, one of my old pastors, used to have this quote, and I won't say the whole thing, but the first part of the quote was, "Great people are ready to help me." And that's so true. That when you get ready to do your dreams, there's somebody great out there that's ready to help you in whatever it is. There's somebody out there. All I needed was a chance for somebody to help me get back in school, and I got that chance. Somebody great was out there ready to help me. And so I'm saying the same thing to everybody that's listening. You might have dreams. They might be scary because you don't have what it takes to complete it. But I'm telling you, there's somebody out there that's ready to help you. And it goes back to that thinking thing. Think enough about yourself to know that you can do it if somebody does want to help you, and then get it done.
Wow. Right there, that's Stephen Avi right there. You've been a straight up out of Arkansas. Did you hear him? He said he feels like fear is the opposite of faith. And, man, you talking about the boogeyman, talking about, you know, you didn't want to put your feet down in the light. Oh, man, that's some great words right there by Mr. Stephen Avi. Well, all right, Mr. Stephen Avi, I really, really enjoyed that segment, man. I wish you would talk a little bit more like that, my brother.
Yes, sir.
Already, man. Well, I ain't going to take up no more of your time, man. I know you got to get ready and go up to the church around 12, so feel free to stay on the line. Feel free to stay on the line. We got a few more minutes to go. And just so you guys know, if you're just now tuning in to the show, we first kicked it off with Stuart Scott's first ESPN segment on ESPN2, his first debut, whenever he first made his debut for ESPN back in 1993. And this is Pete Richardson on the Pete Richardson Morning Show, along with Stephen Ivey and my fiance, Miss Sabrina Hewlett, live on Blog Talk Network, represented by Saving Our Athletes Respectfully, where I'm the sole owner and creator. And today we're actually talking about snakes. You got to keep the grass cut. This is what we're coming with, the this hump day. What's today? Today, Wednesday? Or is today Thursday? I want to say today is Wednesday. Yeah, today is Wednesday. We're in the middle of the first week, middle of the first work week of the year of 2015. So I know there's a lot of people out there that's trying to get fit. My New Year's resolution is to lose weight, or my New Year's resolution is to save money, or my New Year's resolution is to get a good car, or my New Year's resolution is whatever it is. It's to quit smoking, quit drinking, whatever it is. Well, I'm going to put it to you like this. So some people start to hit that hard spot, and just like Mr. Ivy said, you know, his dream was to get back into college, and he also said that he actually went to college just for the loan checks, Well, I'm gonna tell you something, Mr. Ivy, you ain't the only one. You are not the only one, because especially when you have these big dreams and ambitions coming up, especially when you come from a small town, are you just a dreamer? If you're in there, when you're a dreamer, sometimes you attract dream killers. You got to be able to distinctify the two. I remember when I was my senior year in Muskogee High School, Matt Chambers, my old baseball coach, gave us something, and I put this sticker on my wall, and I looked at it every day, because he said there's two people in this world. There are dreamers, and there are dream killers. Which one are you? Are you a dreamer, or are you a dream killer? Some people got good intentions on bad ways and doing it, just like I said at the beginning of my show. Sometimes when people come at you, especially when people are so-called Christians, are the ones that are out here judging people the most. Shut up. Don't run around calling yourself a Christian when you're out here killing people with scriptures. A scripture can cause somebody to go and shoot up with heroin, shoot up with cocaine, just because you think you're coming at them the right way. But how do you know? Don't nobody want to hear something from a perfect person? Don't know why you think when Jesus walked the earth, came down here and died just for everybody in our sins, why do you think he hung around Matthew? Why do you think he hung around Peter? Why do you think he hung around Judas, who ended up being the one who turned him in? Why would you take somebody who's completely healthy to the doctor? No! You won't. There's two people in this world. There's dreamers and there's dream killers. Which one are you? Some of them dream killers are snakes out there. Keep the grass cut. Know who you can trust, because you never know which one they are. Sometimes it could be your mama. Sometimes it could be your sister. Sometimes it could be your homie. Sometimes it could be your significant other. You never know who that dream killer is, but sometimes it's hard because they'll pump you up. Next thing you know, you're hearing about somebody talking about you behind your back, but you can't believe it. Just for an example, right now I got a 16-month-year-old son, right? And I'm over at my uncle watches him whenever me and my fiance is at work. This is just an example, and I watched him work. And not only is it just him over there, there's also two of my little cousins over there. So one of them is about 7. The other one is probably about 3. And my son is 16 months, which means he's 1 and a few months old, right? So my son ended up slapping the oldest one in the oldest one in the face. It goes to my aunt, and I watched the whole thing. I goes to my auntie, and the 8-year-old goes to my auntie crying, and it was just like, and she's like, "What's wrong?" And she was like, "Quaid slapped me. Quaid is my son." And then she looks and was like, "I don't know if it's because I was there or what, but I don't think so." Because she looks and was like, "No, that little boy can't slap you and make you cry." But I have been slapped by my own son, because whenever we just be put out, I'm like, "Dang, that boy carrying a slap behind him." So I could just imagine, you know, how that little 8-year-old, my little cousin, felt. But she just couldn't see that little kid could do something like that, which means is when you got somebody who's your friend, who you feel like is a dream screaming with you, but then you hear about, then you hear through the grapevine that they saying this and this behind your back. You like, no, no way. But I'm sorry to say, hey, some people, yes, you gotta get your resources and get it from a credible source. But sometimes when you get it from a credible source, you still don't want to believe that. Here's another example. If you're in a relationship with somebody and then one of your friends telling you that they saw your girlfriend kissing somebody before picture phones, you know, you will get mad at your boy before you get mad at your girl. That's just another example. So you got to be able to distinctify the dreamers and the dream killers. Always keep your grass cut just because you never know. You never know. Just like you could be in a marriage for 20 years and then your spouse goes out and cheating on you, and then your boss or somebody could tell you, well, I've been seeing your wife doing this and doing that, or maybe even at the crack house, where you'd be like, hey, she ain't never got high day in her life. You know, and then that thing, you know, then you end up seeing it with your own eyes. Then you be like, oh, they was right. Which one are you? Are you a dreamer or are you a dream killer? Just like I said when I was in a senior in high school, my coach, my baseball coach, Mac Chambers, gave us some stickers, dreamers or dream killers. Which one are you? And just you, once you distinctify the dreamers and the dream killers, then you gotta look out for the dream stealers. The dream stealers. Sometimes there's people out there, they be with you when you're up. They be with you when you're up. Then sometimes when they wait for that right opportunity. Sometimes they wait for it. It can happen in 3 days, or it can happen in 3 months, or it can happen in 3 years, or it can happen in 30 years. It just depends on them. It just depends on them. And that's where the hard part comes in. It can happen in 3 days, or it can happen in 3 years, or it can happen in 3 months. A dream stealer is somebody who's with you when you up. And then when they start to see you kind of level out, and then you just start to be consistent on the level playing field, then that's when they're going to try to get you. That's when they're going to try to ask you for something. That's when they're going to, instead of coming at you and like, hey, let's sit down at the table, they're going to ask you for the keys to your car. Come on, get real, bro. They go, for an example, it could be somebody who it could be like, okay, you and your wife, you guys got friends, right? Whenever you're a married couple, you hang around other married couples. When you're single, you hang around other people that's single. So for an example is you and your wife is hanging around with this couple, right? And y'all both Christian family, you hanging out together, right? But then at the end of the day, you never know who you are really hanging out with. You never know what they motivate. Are. And just for an example, you guys need to go check out Snapped. Me and my fiance, we watch Snapped, and we watch some of them Investigation Discovery Channel shows. And if you guys ever seen some of those shows, you'll probably understand what I'm saying. So you probably want to sit back, relax your feet, and go ahead and listen to Pete right now. Just because, all right, you got this couple that you've been hanging out with that's a Christian couple, just like you and your wife, right? But you never know their motives. And but then in the back of that other dude's mind, he might be having a thing for your wife. So which means is, since she feels like she can trust him, so whenever you guys start going through some things, she calls the other female, then the other female talks to her husband about it, because when you're a married couple, yes, you do talk to your significant other about everything, regardless of what it is. So then once he knows that their home is now unstable, now he can go on ahead and make his move. That's a dream stealer. Some people call it a home wrecker, which in that example, which I just used. But an example of a dream stealer of whenever you're trying to make it in this world and be successful and try to make your own company become a corporation, sometimes you can meet some people along the way and try, and they come through you and they come at you and they say all the right things. Just like Mr. Avi was saying, there's somebody out there that's great who's willing to help you. And sometimes that person that's great, that's willing to help you, and you got to really watch out who you think is great. And I'm just so happy that I'm really such a spiritual person, and I'm really in tune with this universe. I'm really in tune with God. I'm really in tune with Jesus. And sometimes I give people chances that I shouldn't be giving chances. And I feel like God talks to me through my dreams. Just for instance, last night, this morning I woke up and I told my fiance, man, I had a crazy dream that me and you were together, and I had been in this store before. And whenever I was in this store before, I didn't get a good vibe. I could tell I wasn't supposed to be there, so I left. So just so happened last night I dreamed this dream. And I seen the place where I was at before, but somebody told me, was like, in my dream, somebody told me, was like, yo, Pete, you don't want to go in that store, did you? Like, your kind ain't welcome. And I said, you know what? I've seen that place before, and I know I'm not welcome, so we're going to miss that place. And the long story short, me and my fiance was being chased by something or somebody. I don't know what it was, but we eventually got away. And when I say we eventually got away, we were somewhere in Mexico. And I don't know, how we ended up in Mexico. I don't know anything or nothing like that. But I just know I did my duties. I did what I was supposed to be as a man. I took care of my significant other, and we got out of that situation that we was in. So the point of that story is, you got to be able to distinctify the dream killers with the dreamers, and most importantly, the dream stealers. And that's what I'm going to leave you guys with today. I can go on all day. I can go on all day. As you can tell, I'm very passionate about this. And I did used to ignore my dreams whenever I would dream them. And I would still try to give people chances, and I would always end up burnt in the long run. So if you like me and you got second guessing about a person that you're trying to come involved with, pay attention to the signs that they give you, because they're going to give you signs. You just got to be able to be aware. It's all about awareness. You got to be able to slow things down, especially when you're in the midst of trying to be great, but we transition from being okay to being good, then transition from being good to being great. You meet a lot of people around the way. You never know people's motives, but people want to come around when you start to do good. You notice when you start to do bad, that's when you're all by yourself. Then when you start to do good, that's when other people want to come around. Then when people want to act like they want to change things, want to act like want to act like more superior than you and want to throw like a resume at you and try to act like, well, I'm all this and this. Well, first of all, why you got to pump yourself up, brother? All you got to do is just be real and be you, then whatever's meant to be is going to be. If not, then you got to G.O. Let's go. No hard feelings, but, hey, you got to keep going. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is you got to slow down. Be aware. Know who's on your team. It's the hump day or the first work week of 2015. Know who's on your team. Slow things down. It's better to be aware. Be aware, stay humble, go get it. Stay foolish, stay stupid, go get it. That's what I'm talking about. Just like that, that's what I'm going to leave you with. P. Richardson, the owner, soul, creative, saving athletes respectfully, coming to you live on Blog Talk Radio, along with my fiance, Sabrina Hewlett, and my partner, Mr. Steven Ivy. Yeah, that's right, but you know I can't let you go without listening to I Came to Win. Yeah, that's right, that's Nicki Minaj featuring Rihanna, talking about Fly Baby. I see you guys. Let's say tomorrow. Different sort of day, same sort of time. Ha ha, peace.
I came to win, to fight, to conquer, to thrive. I came to win, to fight, to prosper, to rise, to love. Remain with a toxic kin, 'cause I am not a word.
I am not a line. I am not a girl that can ever be defined. I am not fly. I am levitation. I represent an entire generation. I hear the criticism loud and clear. That is how I know that the time is near. Did you become alive in a time of fear? And I ain't got the time to fear. Try my